So Matthew 28, Matthew's gospel, 28, we are talking about loving your neighbor and we are investigating biblical truth on what it means. Because sometimes you hear a whole lot of things because you're in the world and information will always, you know, go round and round and round. So sometimes you hear things around love and you wonder where did this come from? Is this from God's word or from a personal bias or experience? You know, for example, people tell you, if someone does this to you, you have to do this back. You know, and there's this Yoruba adage, I'm going to interpret it. It says, that is, if an N decides to pour away my medicine, I'm going to break his egg. And they use that to say, revenge is normal when people hurt you. Is that what God's word says? I don't think so. No. And so we are investigating biblical truth about the love of God. And we're looking at loving your neighbor, what it means. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, that's the word authority, or all authority, that's the word power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And we said this is a short form for the teaching of Jesus after, upon the resurrection. Abi, when he rose from the dead, he took his disciples, and for 40 days he taught them concerning the kingdom of God. He taught them concerning how to act in God's kingdom. He taught them about the details of what God's kingdom entails. And so he says, Matthew will now summarize that and say, as all authority. Authority to get men saved. Authority to build a nation is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. Then it says, go ye therefore, verse 19, and teach all nations. The word teach there is the word matetuo. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. I think by now you should have been used to that one. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. It means to make disciples. It means to make disciples. Who is a disciple? A disciple is someone who is doing what you're doing and saying what you're saying. A disciple, if you say to an average Hebrew man and say, make disciples, you understand? Because in their culture, listen very well, as young as the age of 6, sometimes 12, you take a young boy, a young child, usually the son, to a rabbi. So you put him, and you saw that with Samuel. Even Jesus at the age of 12 was found in the temple. So it's their culture, you take young child to the temple. Then they allocate that young child to a rabbi, who is the teacher of the law, and then the rabbi schools him, so he patterns his life after the rabbi. Does that make sense? As a young child, what today you call Bible school, where people leave their occupation, they leave their cities, and then, when I was younger, I knew someone who went to a theological school. Pastor Benga. I can't remember the name again. But I knew that he left for about 2 years. He left the family, left everyone. Of course, proper consent too, not that he just jilted them for Bible school. No. They all knew he was going for theological training. You know, he left, and then when he was coming back, he came back with a collar. And that's good. But you see, that kind of training, Jesus now says, you go to every nation. And then make people learn God's word. So, discipleship is part of the Great Commission. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Discipleship is what? That's not. Discipleship is what? Part of the Great Commission. I've heard people say before, we are called to preach the gospel, not preach our church. I think that's fine because, you know, but you don't make a truth the truth. It's a truth, but it's not the truth. You have to look at words. As you're growing older, especially spiritually as you mature, you will learn to pick your words. I've told you that there's no talker to you that's walking in the spirit. You have to pick your words. You can't just say you are not called to preach your church, you are called to preach the gospel. Fine. But who sent you out? Your church? Right? 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 Yeah. Jesus says you preach the gospel and make them disciples. The work of evangelism is not complete until that fellow is a disciple. Is it making sense what I just said? Until that fellow is learning God's word and is actively serving the Lord. So it's not just preaching and say, find a Bible-believing church. Have you heard of a church that is not Bible-believing before? Every church is Bible-believing. Even the ones that are doing, every church is Bible-believing. At least they will open somewhere in the Bible. Might not be where Jesus asks them to open. They will just teach something. So again, you can't sideline discipleship. What we call the gospel is not only to get men saved, it's also to teach them. It's also to teach them. So, discipleship is part of evangelism. Matthew 28:18-19, that's where we are now. So go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation. The word nation is the word ethnos. E-T-H-N-O-S. E-T-H-N-O-S. It means a group of people that are bound by a common identity. A group of people bound by a common identity, bound by a belief system. So, it's not like saying Nigeria, it's not saying Ghana, it's not saying United States of America. It's saying, if we are, the Church of Christ, for example, is a nation. We are bound by the resurrection. Does it make sense? The unbeliever is a nation where you have people who are bound by a common identity. They don't believe the gospel or they have not believed the gospel. That makes sense? It's a nation. There are some set of people that believe that Adam can marry Steve. Those ones too are a set of nation. They are a nation. Earlier in the week, I was talking to some of the medical students that came for their rounds in the clinic. As I was talking to them, because I'm quite jovial, one of them said that I should not address her as singular, that she is non-binary. And I said, what does that mean? Yeah. Sincerely, I've heard it before, but I've never thought that I would meet someone like that. So she said she's non-binary. The only binary I know is in the computer. So I said, what does that mean? He said, she's not, I can't address her as she or you. That she's playing many. Ah! Mark 5. What is your name? I am Legion, for we are many. That's the only place my mind went to. I said, Mark 5. So, I said, how are you people? He said, don't use you. Are you serious? No, we can play. Are you really this year? Then some of our classmates said, he jokes with it sometimes, but sometimes you can be serious with it. Non-binary. So, good morning, you people. How can you say you are not singular? This is you. The only explanation is that you are religion. But it's okay. So those kind of people too is a nation. They believe they are not singular. Something in their head is telling them. So, someone said, he's a dog. I think I told you that one. That is a dog. So when did you discover this? He said, when I was a puppy. You have made up your mind. So, you can go to every nation and make them disciples. So it means, listen very well, when we receive the gospel sidelines our natural ethnos. Does it make sense? The gospel sidelines our natural ethnos. Fine, you are Nigerian, you are Igbo, you are Yoruba, you are Hausa, you are French, you are Italian, you are Turkish, you are Finnish. Right? From Finland. I intentionally put that one. You are Finnish. You are Danish, you know. But you are Belgian, you are whatever you are, the moment you receive the gospel sidelines that natural ethnos, that natural belief bounding system, and imposes on you a new culture. So the gospel has its own culture. So go and now teach people a new culture. Regardless of their nation, regardless of their culture, regardless of their ethnos, the gospel now presents to us a new creation. Go and teach all nations. So, in the message of the gospel, we don't have, listen very well, we don't have diverse belief systems. I don't say because I'm Igbo and you're Yoruba, where we think is different. No, in the gospel, listen very well, in the gospel, we must think the same way. Why? Because we have believed the same Jesus. Does that make sense? That makes sense? So, the gospel transcends, supersedes our natural belief systems. The gospel transcends, it supersedes, it superimposes on our natural ethnos. We can't merge it together. You know, have you heard from folks? Someone sent us out. He went to a cultural shrine and he was hearing some songs that looked like, that sounded like church songs. And the person said that it is not church song, though. That is the church that stole the songs. Said, no, it's not a church song. That it is for Rumila. That when you and then the history is that when Christianity came to Nigeria, to Africa generally, they didn't want to part away with most of what they already knew. And so what they did was they infused the gospel into already existing norms, songs, practices. Now that you see people still speaking to the offering. Alright. So you have a cult of people speaking to the offering. Take your offering, speak to it. And that was taken from the traditional system of going to an abalist or going to a traditional worshipper, and then you speak to your whatever you call it, and then you give it to if out the deity, and then of course you know the person that will spend it. And then he says, "People used to do it in offering. Bring out the offering. Speak to your offering. Where did we get that from? It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible to speak to your offering. As much as you like it, there's no white wedding in the Bible. It's culture. It's European culture." You can't find it in the Bible anywhere. You can ask me to come and do that for you. You know, right? I'll follow you wherever you want to do it. I don't know how to do it. You know, because there's no discipleship manual for it. It's not there. Someone had this for me and said, I can't send this to you. Oh, well, I'm not married. Or one day. When you're done, go back. Hallelujah. Go and do it. I'll follow you there. Now, don't worry, I'm not. There's no, what they call it now, inferiority. That's another person, let them do. It's not in the Bible. And some people have put that on their head. If you don't do it, you are not married. Who told you that? Personally, I believe that if I meet with your father, and your father has agreed, and we have both negotiated, it's called negotiation. It is audition. Papa, how much for this? If we don't collect money, but bring 10,000 with 5 bottles. If you ask me to come to the mosque, I'll go there. It's fighting. Your father is an allergy. You a Christian. You want to marry the allergies, and the allergies that you come to the mosque. You go to the mosque. You don't know. You go to the mosque, you wear put the lawani. I, your pastor, will follow you there. We'll put the lawani, we'll put the mosque. They will teach us, we'll do it. But we are done, we'll put it up. Next day, we are in church. But you can infuse that into the gospel. You can't say someone is not saved or married properly because they don't do the white wedding. Because it's not what the Bible teaches. And so most of those things allowed culture to box us up. We've allowed culture to now mingle with the message of resurrection. From the beginning, it was not so. I know some of you already. Saying, what kind of pastor is this one? But it's just the truth. Find it out. It's in Revelation 13 verse 6, that you have to wear white. If you look at the history, it was black before. Pure black. And One of the princes just disagreed and said she doesn't like black, she wants white. And then they gave her white, and everybody saw her white, so beautiful. And some ladies, that's all their dream in life. No ambition, nothing. The only ambition to wear white. Okay. She can't just go and buy white and wear it. Or make white your favorite color. Alright, so, again, it's a cultural Sunday. You know? Everybody come to your cultural day. Oh, gospel super in our culture. That means, in the light of the message of direction, we lose everything in natural and pursue the resurrection. That makes sense? So you teach, you make disciples after the resurrection. We are not disciples of human philosophy. We are not disciples of culture. We are disciples of the gospel. Say, I am a disciple of the gospel. No? Okay. Cultural son, open your cultural ears. And so bro always decides to just wear some, you know. Great. And some people, if you ask them to come in there, they will dress up like it. Because their cultural wear is to tie something in, around the chest and wear leaves. You know, say, no, not like that, please, not like that. Because you've not seen culture. Go to Kenya and go to Mali, go to DR Congo, you will see culture. The day you say people should dress in their cultural attire, that's the day your church will close. But the gospel supersedes our culture, right? Eh? The gospel transcends culture. So, the message is for all nations. So make disciple of every nation. Disciple of what? Disciple of verse 18. Disciple of his teaching. What is his teaching? All power is given to me where? In heaven and on earth. That is his teaching. So when you say all power, when did that happen? When did he receive all authority? Eh? In the resurrection. You know, he said, at that day you will know. Because many things will not happen till he rises from the dead. Or till he is risen from the dead. At that day you will now know. At that day you will see. At that day I will send. So, on the resurrection, or upon the resurrection, Jesus now has all power upon the resurrection. He now has. What is the resurrection? Now, the resurrection, listen very well. I'm just going to say this passively. I'll teach it later. The resurrection is not just a past event. The way many people see resurrection is, Jesus died, he rose again, and he went to heaven. No, that's not it. That's not it. The way the Greek uses it, anastasis, the way the Greek uses it is a past, present, past event. Something that has happened, and it's happening. Anastasis. It has happened, that's the resurrection. It is happening now. Every Christian, you have to say, Jesus rose from the dead, it's true. But the moment you now say, he didn't say goodbye. He never left us. They say, Are you now saying he's not coming again? Because they don't realize that for you to say, he's alive, amen. He's alive. Jesus is alive. Forever. You can't call someone who is in heaven alive. Heaven now, I'm using it loosely. You have to be here. Hallelujah. He's not alive as a memory. Or as a memorial. In love, memory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Who died, rose again and died again. No. He's alive. Say he's alive. Now. He's alive. You know. My mom is late. If I say, my mom said, now if I tell someone like Shola, who knows, some of you are just knowing. If I tell someone like Shola and say, in fact, my mom was saying this morning that, he's just going to look at me and say, he misses her. Because, he knows there's no way, it must have been a nightmare. There's no way he's coming to my place this morning to tell me anything. But when we say, God told me this morning. You know, nobody's asking and saying, why? Because he is alive. He is here right now. Anastasis. He is breathing. Does it make sense? Anastasis. He is breathing. Does it make sense? Is it making sense? And so, use anastasis for someone, for Lazarus. Yeah, because he rose from the dead to die again. There was a man like that when we were younger, Benga Deboye. Abi? Remember? Who rose from the dead? I don't know the story. Abefe? Pastor Oluwafa. He's an on-air personality. Very popular then. Benga Deboye, Abefe, Funwoton. He used to be my favorite. Sorry if you don't know. He didn't even witness live resurrection. From the dead. I think after 2 days or something. Was it 2 or 3? But he died again, you know. Hallelujah. That was not anastasis. Something else. Anagenosko. What's not anastasis? Anastasis is, he is breathing. So for every time you said, he is risen from the dead, what you are saying is, he is breathing now. He is here now. You don't call someone who is away, risen from the dead. So, in the resurrection, he is with us. Say he is with us. Say he is with us. So, he is not alive in a memorial. He is here right now. And we said, the resurrection, which you have seen from Matthew 28:18, in verse 20, Matthew 28, he told them, he says, I am with you always. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Say always. So, he is always with us. You don't call someone who left you with you. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And we said, where is he with us? He's not in our shoes. He's not in our bag. He's not in our closet. He is in us. Say he's in me. In that day you will know that I am in the Father. He in me and I in you. John 14:20. I in you. The resurrection presents to us a present Christ. Presents to us a Jesus who is alive. He is with us and in us. Amen? So, if he is with us, then that's a relationship. So we said the resurrection itself is a relationship. Many times, Christians have failed relationships because they have not patterned it after the true relationship. I told last, when we are looking at this course, for this course, that is, there's a reason why people get married in the natural. Marriage, natural marriage, is not the account itself, it's not the genesis. There is a cause. For this cause, man now do this. That makes sense? There's a reason why people engage. There's a reason why people marry. And I told you that not everybody that is married today is going to join together. Is it making sense? You just like each other. Or not. Sometimes the lady that just like the guy's money. Sometimes the guy that like the lady's money. What if it's feminist? Don't come from you. The guy too can like the lady's money. Some guys here can change their name. What's in the name? They will change their name. I am no longer Damola Daniel Alok. Right now, I am Damola Daniel Ogunbeso. Say, where did you get Ogunbeso from? That was not your problem. Why? Because there's an Ogunbeso estate. And the man said he wants to will it to his son-in-law. Oh. The son-in-law must bear his name. Maybe you will soon die. Affidavit is 5,000. 1,500. Hallelujah. You know, so people get married for different reasons. Let me get married, travel abroad. It's abroad. You know the difference later. Some people don't travel abroad, it's travel abroad. Yeah, my dear bastard is Lara. So people get married for different reasons. Some people get married because they are hungry. They just want someone to cook for them. Some people get married because they feel they are getting old and they need children. It's just different reasons. So you can't claim, you can't put it on God and say God and everybody together. God does not have time for that nonsense. The reason for natural marriage is for a cause. For this cause shall a man now leave father and mother, Genesis 2:24, and shall cleave unto his wife, and his twin shall become one flesh. Therefore there are not two, but one flesh. What God has joined together. Let not man put asunder. And we saw that was between God and man. Say God and his prophet. Between God and man. That is, in the gospel, God now binds himself to man. Christ is the husband of the church. The church is his bride. That's Ephesians 5. The church is now the bride of Christ. Now his body.
Ephesians 1, 20, 22. So again, in the resurrection, we now have that relationship. In the resurrection, Jesus is our brother. Hebrews 2:14. Therefore, he that sanctifies and they that are sanctified are of one. And for this, he is not ashamed to what? To call them, for this cause, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. So what we have natural brotherhood is actually from the resurrection. He is our brother. Hebrews 2:11 to 14. That's why I just put it there. So what we have do we have brothers here? Okay. Esther. Sorry, I'll use a brother. Forget. In the Greek, the word brethren actually is used for both genders. When Jethro asked Moses, Moses said, I'm going to Egypt to see my brothers. And the way he used it, of course, in Egypt, he did not only rescue the male. It was male and female. So when he said brethren, so it's not, that's why you don't find sistren in the Bible. Because brethren is already all inclusive. Sorry, I don't know about the non-binary. I don't know, but it's all inclusive. That makes sense? So don't look at the word brethren. See, for this cause, he didn't say to, for this cause, it's not ashamed to call them sistren. No. Brethren is all inclusive. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Someone said, feminists, when they realize that, it's called handkerchief. Instead of Anka Lolo. Anka Lolo. It's fine. You can change anything you want to change. But brethren is all inclusive. That makes sense. So, physical or natural brotherhood is seen also in the resurrection. Jesus is now our brother. For this, because he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Romans 8. There is something. So we're looking at loving your neighbor. Don't forget. Romans 8. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, conformed against what to be is in the intellects, and I reckon I should be removed. But for whom He did foreknow, He also predestinate, conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn. So, in the resurrection, Jesus is the firstborn. Prototokos. P-R-O-T-O. Prototokos. P-R-T-O-T-O-K-O-S. That is the first of many. When you say firstborn in the Bible, doesn't mean that now Abraham is secondborn or Paul is secondborn. It just means that this one is an example of what others will look like. Like saying an example. Is the sample, is the firstborn among many brethren. He is the firstborn. So Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. Who are the many brethren? You and I. The saints of old, the saints to come. So, Jesus is our brother. Say he's our brother. Huh? He's our brother. He's our friend. So in the resurrection, we have examples of friendship. I think we taught this last year. Huh? All right. In the resurrection, we have an example of friendship. Jesus is our friend. He's our friend. In John 15. Of course, by now, I know you know that the teaching from John 14 to John 16 is effected upon resurrection. Right? At that day, you will know, you now believe, I'll send the comforter, the teaching of Jesus from John 14 to John 16 has its effect in the resurrection. John 15, verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not servants. For the servant knows not what his Lord is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things are that of my Father I have made known unto you. John 15, 15. In James 2, Abraham was called the friend of God. James 2, 23. Abraham was called the friend of God. So again, upon the resurrection, we see relationship. He is our husband. How do I know how to treat my husband? How the church treats Christ. How do I know how to treat my wife? In the natural, the way Christ loves the church. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? How did Christ love the church? He gave himself. He gave his spirit. He works in him. Or in her. You know? As Christ loved the church, husband will now love their wives. So again, like I always, listen very well.
that if we have two believers who are just following what the Bible teaches, they don't need extra teachings on relationship. You just need to follow what the Bible teaches. Love one another, forgive easily. Don't avenge. You don't need any extra. When your husband wakes up in the morning, the first thing is to serve tea. When your wife wakes up in the morning, breakfast in bed. Breakfast, call. Break chain. Now, I'm not saying you should not go and do breakfast too. I'm saying you don't make that a commandment before the ladies tear me up. So, Pastor, now, not that I honor you. Oh, honor me more. So, Pastor, that's all. You can do breakfast in bed, you can do lunch in bed, you can do, but why didn't you go to work? Okay, you can do, dinner in bed. Just like obesity will kill you. Because you are doing everything in bed. You know? Fine, you can treat, but ensure that you are not succumbing to the pattern of this world. Ensure that your marriage is not based on movies. Some people have patterned their marriage after celebrity. I'm going to conceal the name, but there was a celebrity that got married in the air. And so, people are saying that on social media. Not to mock or to do anything. It didn't last. Right? And I think it lasted for 6 months or so, thereabout. And some people have slain themselves. Ladies, I'm going to say this very well. Ladies, when they see that kind of thing, I put the pressure on the husband. When are we going to go on vacation? What time? When that's it, like, no, that's it. But because you saw something on social media. So, you have decided to pattern your own marriage side. Some people pattern their marriage after movies. You are going to meet your spouse when your book falls on the ground and you are trying to pick it. If it's not like that, I'll pick it and give it and go. And then say, hey, Johnny, Sherry, you're not looking at your Indian song that we play at the back. And the dance that you would not realize before. Bambalina. Where did you know this dance together? No, there's just this stupidity I see in it. It's just stupid. Then, that won't work like this. This won't work like this. He's looking for him. She's looking for him. Then that won't work. Looking for him. That one is looking for him. He's not gone. There's someone who now block. My husband. Then by that person now goes, that one is not there again. Too much. You don't have phone call to tell him, wait for me here. So in your head, your relationship is like that. You should be throwing pillow. You understand? Who has time to fight with you? The Bible says, bear one thing. Don't fight. Why are you throwing pillow at me? I walk in love. I'm not trying to throw back. Yeah. You're just, because you're something. Something that looks amiable, fine. It's okay. It's okay if you have someone that wants to throw pillow too. You get? But you don't like Damola. Faith. Damola is better. Faith. He will throw guitar at you. Play on C. Say that we must, first of all, emulate and pick our relationships from the resurrection. In the resurrection, he's our brother. He's our friend. He's our friend. So we see examples of friendship. How true friends ought to act. In the resurrection, we thought that already last year. Disciples of the love of God. Also in the resurrection is our master. So, from that, I see how I ought to act towards my natural boss. Or my boss in the natural. Alright, so, he's also our master. The epistles teach how we ought to act to those who employ us. Honesty, accountability, you know, that's what the epistles teach. So again, we have examples in the resurrection. And finally, where we are going to, in the resurrection, is our neighbor. Jesus becomes our neighbor. Who is my neighbor? And we were able to look at that question last week. Who is my neighbor? And we look at Luke chapter 10. The book of Luke. I trust that you are learning something. Luke chapter 10, verse 25, the certain lawyer stood up, tempted him and saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, do what is written in the law. How readest thou? And he answered and said, what is in the law is that you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with strength, with all your mind, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. That's Leviticus 19:18.
And he said, thou hast answered right. Verse 28. And thou do this and you will live. That's 29. But he willing to justify himself said, Jesus, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, a certain man went from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment. Now, if you know the terrain, Jerusalem to Jericho is quite a fruitful place. So, it's a place where you can find people who trade. If you can find people who have goods coming, you get. It's like a trade fair, a trade area. The same way you have a Lagos Ibadan Expressway, something like that. That makes sense? Where businesses are always happening. So, if you want to relay someone, Jerusalem Jericho will be fine. So it says, he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came a certain priest. So a priest came, he came that way, and when he saw him, he passed on to the other side. And likewise, the Levite. And when he came at the place, he came and looked at him and passed on to the other side. Verse 3 now, Luke 10 at the time. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him at his own beast. That oil is for healing, no? Not anointing oil. And brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day, he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said, take care of him, and whatsoever you spend more, when I come unto you, I will pay you. Which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him that fell among thieves? So Jesus took neighbor from noun to verb. Do you see that? Right? The man asked, who is my neighbor? Jesus said, who was neighbor to him? So sometimes what we call my friend is much more in action than nominal. That makes sense? That makes sense? So when you say, that is my friend, it's not just a thing. It is someone you are committed to. It is someone you have obligations towards. Don't join this generation that just, you know, someone said, you don't owe anybody anything. Be happy, do whatever makes you happy. That's not biblical. That is not biblical in the least sense of it. You can't afford to just do whatever makes you happy. What's that nonsense? Where is the sacrifice? Because what we call friendship is sacrifice. What we call responsibility is sacrifice. Sometimes, my dad will say something and then, you know, I'm not so cool with it. But I look at it and say, fine, that's going to make him happy. Right? That's going to make him happy. I'll sacrifice my own happiness. What's it? I'll get another one. You get what I'm saying? So, relationship is sacrifice. You do whatever makes you happy. What's that? And you know, sometimes, softly, Christians also inculcate it. And you just see it on social media and say, you just feel like, today I don't feel like going on outreach. And so you quickly block Bershola. Block. Since I did it, block. He said, where's to come in our cell? Block. And you now sit down with Netflix. With popcorn. And drinks. With music blasting. You say, well, life is short. I will do whatever makes me happy. So that year. And demons are saying, yes. We love you. That's why we love you. come to think of it, I love you too. You know? And the people who are meant to get saved are there waiting for you. And someone else has to take your place. You know? You can't afford to always do whatever makes you happy. Sometimes what makes some people happy is killing themselves. I'm just tired, I'm fed up. And so he picks. But consider the people who have sacrificed almost all their life for you. Consider the people who are going to cry. You know, all of that. You can't just do whatever makes you happy. That's what we got from the resurrection. In the resurrection, Jesus, even though he was unhappy, he said, if it is your will, O God, his own will is let this cup pass. But you see, if he's our friend in reality, then he's going to sacrifice. And so, the man asked, who is my neighbor? Very nominal. Jesus said, who was neighbor to him? So it's not just a
matter of calling someone your friend. It is, are you friend to him? Or are you friendly?
Does it make sense what I'm saying?
It's not a matter of calling someone your spouse. Are you acting like one? It's not just a matter of calling someone your, what else? Brother! Are you a brother to him?
How many of you get what I'm saying this morning?
And so Jesus said, who is neighbor to him? Now, from the story that was just the parable, there was the priest, that crossed to the other side. He saw the man wounded, crossed. There was who again? The Levite, crossed. Then there was a Samaritan who took care of him. Who was neighbor to him, please? The Samaritan. That's what we call the good Samaritan. And we looked at the word neighbor, plesion, in the Greek, P-L-E-S-S-I-O-N. P-L-E-S-S-I-O-N. Which means to what? To come near and show mercy. Right? Because that's what the Samaritan did. He came near to him and showed mercy. So who was neighbor? The one who comes near, or who is neighbor? The one who comes near and show mercy. The one who comes near and show mercy. And in the resurrection, when a man receives the message of the gospel, God comes near. God comes near. Fine, you can put that in the incarnation. Now, why were you sinners? As Christ came and then he died for us. And all that. But much more. That one is a passive. He came to Jerusalem. But when a man believes, he comes in. That is neighborhood. He comes close. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, door knocking. I stand at the door knocking. Revelation 3 verse 20. If any man hears my voice, that word hear is the word akoe, or akou, A-K-O-U-O. A-K-O-U-O. If any man hears my voice, A-K-O-U-O, which means to hearken, to obey. What is his voice? The gospel. The background of it was the church in Laodicea, who was neither cold nor hot, and he said, I'm going to spew your work out of my mouth. And then he's still saying to them, to the ones who have not believed. Because from what they were saying is, we have no need. We are okay. There's nothing else. He says, that doesn't sound like we are saved. If any man hears my voice, which is the gospel, I will come in unto him. That makes sense? I will come in unto him and dine with him. And he with me. So, when a man receives the message of the gospel and hearkens to his voice, what happens is that Christ comes near. Are you learning something? Christ comes near. In the resurrection, he is our neighbor. John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That makes sense? I will be your neighbor. I will come to you. So, in the resurrection, he comes near. Comes near to help. Comes near to show mercy. So, in the resurrection, we see example of neighborhood. The resurrection makes Jesus our neighbor. I remember one song. I don't know how many of you have heard this before. Jesus is my neighbor. You know this before? Jesus is my neighbor on Glory Street. Yeah, don't worry. It's an old song. Jesus is my neighbor on Glory Street. Fine. You know, just some nice lines. He's our neighbor. He came near. Matthew 22. Learn something. Matthew 22. Turn there. So we'll close with my neighbor today. Then next week I'll teach something on marital relationships. Hopefully. Am I not close? Matthew 22. And verse 34 to verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? The great commandment in the Lord, Megale Nomos. The great commandment. Verse 37, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your... This is what? The Peter and the Megale Nomos. The first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt, that is, the way you take the first is the way you take the second. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the what? The law and the prophets. And to be factual, many people have, some people, is it many? I don't know many. Some have said, and I can remember, I even had a friend, my friend, who misinterpreted this. I probably have done it too, maybe once before. Can't be in recent years. And he would say, love your neighbor as yourself. It means, love yourself first. I've never heard that before. At least if you don't, so as people quote it to religious and say, even the Bible says love your neighbor as yourself. I've not eaten, how do you expect me to? And what they think it means is that, I'm going to love myself first, then I will now love my neighbor. If I'm not satisfied, I shouldn't. No, that's criminal reading. That's criminal reading. Love your neighbor as yourself. You treat people the way you want to be treated. As you should be treated. So, you treat people equally how you should be treated. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He has shown us how to be good neighbors. So, love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 5. See, if you are a Christian and you don't love people, then something is wrong with how you believe the gospel. Because being born again should naturally make you want to love people. Forget those who just say nonsense. Being born again would make you love people. And when I say love, love means you're going to sometimes treat people better than you would treat yourself. You just seek after their well-being. You just want them to be fine. If you are always thinking about yourself and yourself alone, check how you got it. Probably you need to pray. Probably you need to do many other things. Matthew 5, verse 43. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Then will you be children of the Father who is in heaven. Now, someone said, let me just correct something fast. Someone said that when it says has been said, love your neighbor, hate your enemies, that was Moses. I beg to differ. I'm going to disagree. That's not Moses. I'm going to prove that. When Jesus said, it has been said, he was talking about the Pharisees. Because what they thought was that you love the people who are close to you alone. And that whoever offends you, of course, in their own misinterpretation of the Old Testament, which is primarily here, the Torah, the Genesis to Deuteronomy. So, in their misinterpretation and in their thought, they now thought that you will love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus is correcting that. Because what Moses thought was you love everyone. In fact, we heard last week how Moses even to the alien. Remember, at least even if you have a stranger. We read that now, right? Right? So, Moses could not have been saying, hate your enemy. Of course, you know much more than that. Some of the pastors always defending Moses. Who else do you want to defend? You. I will defend you too. Alright, so, again, that's the error of the Pharisees. Look at what Moses taught. In Exodus 20, what did Moses teach? In verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is your neighbor. Moses taught loving your neighbor. Exodus 22, verse 21. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger. That is, don't make a stranger nor oppress him. For you are strangers in the land of Egypt. See what Moses is teaching. Leviticus 19. Oh, before that, Exodus 23. Exodus 23. Are you there? Verse 2. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a course to decline after many to rest judgment. Verse 3. Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his course. Can we verse 4 to 5 together? If you meet your enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. Verse 5. If you see an ass of him that hates you lying under his body, thou shalt forbear to what? Thou shalt surely... So is this Moses that is saying, he's teaching that you hate your enemy? No? No.
Again, when he said it has been said, it is the Pharisees.
Make sense?
So Jesus is correcting what the Pharisees were teaching around. What Moses taught is that you love your neighbor, you love a stranger, and you love the enemy. Or an enemy.
Leviticus 19 verse 33 to 34.
Want to go? And if a stranger journeys with you in your land, you shall not vex him. But the stranger that dwells with you shall become as one born among you. And thou shalt love him as yourself. For you are strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. See how Moses is teaching. He says, when someone is staying with you in your house, treat him like he was among you. Don't say, this one is not my brother. Don't say, this one is not my father's child. He says, treat him like he's your brother. Treat him, for you are also strangers in this world. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? What else did Moses teach? Deuteronomy 10. Of course, you expect Deuteronomy to be an echo. Right? Verse 19. 10, 19. Want to go? Love ye therefore the stranger, for you are strangers. So it's just a second reading. And as well, someone asked me some years ago, said, why is Deuteronomy, like almost everything I saw in Deuteronomy, I was seeing it in Exodus and Leviticus. That's why it's called Deuteronomy now. Due, Abi, undo track, undo track, car, send. It's, French class was hell. Alright, so when you say due, that's the second. So this is the second reading, the second chance. So it says, you love your enemies, you love the stranger, because you are also stranger, you are strangers in Egypt. So again, love your neighbor. So your neighbor deserves love. In Matthew 19, verse 18, he said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery. Matthew 19, 18, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear, honor your father and mother, and thou shalt what? Love your neighbor as your, it's a commandment in the entire Bible. Love your neighbor as yourself. In Romans 13, again, who is your neighbor? The one who comes near to you, who are you neighbor to? The one you go near to show mercy. That means you take the initiative. Right? I've told you many times, you know, sometimes you see folks on the road and then they come to you and then they're asking you for money. And you've got it. You have the money. It happens every time you're in Lagos. On Friday, someone said, I didn't even listen to everything was here. I knew it was money. I just had to give him something. I gave 500 naira and I saw the way his face. Ah, thank you. God bless you. Now, I don't care if he was lying. Hey, Pastor, come! I don't care. Like I told you, for a man of that age, now if it was someone of my age, I would just say, guy, have fun. Bye. What do you do? Did you go to school? Yeah. You say, I didn't go to school. Okay, fine. What do you feel you can do? You get, I will engage him. Fine, but you beseech an elder. he was quite elderly and said he has not eaten enough. Even if he is full, for a man of that age to come to someone of my own age and say he needs money, if he has it, he will not do it. It's simple. If he had the money, he would not beg. Don't you think so? He's calm. At least you gave him money. Would that make him happy? Did you have it? Why not? Yours is not to judge whether he's lying or not. So, one came to me and said, I've not bought a drug. I said, you told me this thing day before yesterday. Because the day before he's hospital, so you get to see a lot of that. He showed me, he came to the clinic, I was strolling out of the clinic and said that he needs to buy a drug of 250 naira. I said, what's the drug? And he showed me the prescription. I don't know where he got the prescription. And I said, okay. I have the drug. Then he said, okay. So I gave him the drug. I went to the clinic, I gave him the drug. He said, thank you, he was happy, he went. Then in the next 2 days, you want to buy the same drug? I said, you showed me this drug and I gave you. Yeah. Hope you are not going to do drug abuse. Why are you doing this? Well, you know, I was not going to shout at him and say, No. I understand. Why would he be lying against him being sick, who get money. It has gotten critical. The hunger has gotten serious. Sometimes you feel you might be lucky enough, I was saying yesterday. And then you feel, oh, I'm in a position, I can never collect so many. I don't do this, I don't, you know. You just be grateful for where you are. Exactly. Be grateful for what you have. But do not look down on people who have less. And don't try to think you understand it. Don't try to think you feel the pain. Just don't even think it. Help the people you can. When you do that, you are neighbor to him. Sometimes, all I want to see is just the smile. Just the smile on the face. And you don't know how long that can go. I've told you, you are neighbor even to the person that will not come back to say thank you. I told the man that helped me when I was younger. Right? When we were stranded. Along Gikeru Road. Myself and my mom. We were stranded on the road. He was getting dark. We had to get back to Ibadan. And then someone we never knew. We didn't know him from Adam or from Cain. And he packed and he took us to Ibu Road. I have never seen that face since that. I don't even recognize him. I was too young to even know this is the way he looks like. But you know what? I'm still talking about him today. Why? He was neighbor to me. Does it make sense? I was 10 or 9. But you know what? It has not left my head. Even decades after. Is it making sense what I'm saying? Be a neighbor. Go near and show help. Show mercy. In Proverbs 3. Let me just quickly before we go to Romans. Proverbs 3. There's nothing Christian about calculating help you give. By calculating hope around you. And then you're lying. Yes, you don't need it. Have you seen Dangote coming to beg you for money? Eh? Or me begging you for money? I'm not saying I'm very rich. I'm not rich. I'm not even rich. Not very. I'm just saying, when people have what they need, they will not come begging at your foot. They will not come to your table. If Lazarus had it, he will not be begging for crumbs. He will leave that man's gate. Proverbs 3. In verse 28. Let's have verse 27. We told not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Don't hold back from when good is due, when is your power. Verse 28, verse 28 together. Say not to your neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give you, when you add it with you. Does it make sense? That's how to be a good neighbor. You add it, and say, ah, don't worry. Come tomorrow. That one is scope. Yes. That one is, what do you call it? You are putting him, ready, wire. They are posting it. On his coming. Like Christ. They are putting it on his coming. Scope not your neighbor. Scope not your neighbor saying, I'm expecting something soon. When it, help the people you can. As much as it lies within your power. I'm not saying you go bankrupt. I'm not saying you go and take a loan. I'm saying you have it. Sometimes, just think about it, that this money, when I left the man, 500 naira, this is probably what I just used to buy 5 alive. Citrus balls, which I like. I'm not saying you should start bringing on my birthday. You know? Like sometimes I just buy to play a game. You understand what I'm saying? And this is what is making this, I don't care if he's lying. I don't care whether the reason he gave was false or, I don't care. It made him smile. He said, thank you. I'm very grateful. That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to see. I don't want him to even say grateful. As I gave him, I just left. That is how to be neighbor. I don't want to tell him, you know what, by this time tomorrow, come to this place. What did you call your name again? Louis 500 Naira. Who are you? There's nothing you have that you are not given. Someone gave it to you too. Whether you worked, whether you did anything, someone gave it to you. It was someone's money. Learn to help others. Is that clear? Is that clear? Glorious House Church. Romans 14. Is that where we are? Romans 13. Loving your neighbor. Romans 13. Verse 8. Are you there? Owe no man anything, but love one another. For he that loves one another, as people of peace. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying. Namely what? Thou shalt love your neighbor. But then,
Love works no ill to his neighbor.
Therefore,
love is the fulfilling of the law.
Love does not seek someone's downfall. Love seeks to help. Love seeks to assist. Love seeks to assist. You see children on the road selling. Sometimes I ask, why are you not in school? Why? So I have to sell all of this before I go to school. They have primary school, free school. He said, what are we going to eat? No, you are thinking about the fact that it's free. So I'll go to school and come back and meet hunger. Be a neighbor. Help.
Hallelujah.
Galatians 5. Trust God to what is working in your life. And henceforth you'll be a good neighbor. You'll love your neighbor. Galatians 5. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this. Thou shalt love your neighbor as your... Can you see that you have seen this from Moses to the Jesus? Eh? It is doctrine. You love your neighbor as yourself. We have said your neighbor is the one whom you show help to. From born of the resurrection, I replicate the neighborhood of Christ in my relationships. Ephesians 4. Tell me verse 24, 25 together. Wait for everybody. Ephesians 4. You there? Ephesians 4, verse 24, 25. Want to go? And holiness. Wherefore put away, speak every man truth with his neighbor. For our members, put away scoping. Don't scope people. Put away lying. Let every man speak truth with his neighbor. So again, he identifies, look at what Paul just did now. He identifies that neighbor as your brother and sisters in Christ today. So he's talking to the church and he says, put away lying and speak the truth to your neighbor. So, the brother sitting beside you, the one you spoke to earlier, and you asked, how are you doing? Huh? That is your neighbor. That's your neighbor. Look at this person and say, neighbor, how are you doing? Answer now. That's your neighbor. That's your neighbor. Some people treat outsiders better than their neighbors in Christ. Their brothers. You know? See Brian. On the road though. Hi. You know, just say, like passively, like, really we have nothing together? No. You treat your neighbor like yourself. If any church member, any brother in Christ today walks into your house, you treat them like a king. Are you listening to me? Like a what? King. Woe unto you. If you treat an unbelieving rich man better. A shame. You know. You see some people, they will treat, if someone like the richest man in Africa walks into your house, he doesn't even walk. He's just on the street. He's not coming to your place, but you're tidying your sitting room. Don't talk of him coming in. See, Adonai. That's what he is. Adonai. You reign on I. It's not God, though. I bow my head to you. Because it's coming. You know, what they're saying? Okay, I can see that. Don't you think you will need PT? How many is? You don't have AC, okay. But here, because of what you will eat in the natural, you treat the sacred as common, and the common as sacred. That's not Christianity. Whoever has the Spirit of God is worthy of your honor. Peter says, you will honor the brethren. You will also love the brotherhood. Is that it? We have anyone who is born of the Spirit. Are you listening to me? Anyone who is born of the Spirit. You treat them as such. With the dignity of Christ. Scope not your neighbor. Lie not to one another. Speak the truth. Love your neighbor as yourself. He says, when you do this, you have fulfilled the law. Hallelujah. Praise God. He has called us to mirror his kind of neighboring. Who close on this? Again, where did everybody get this from? Leviticus 19, are we? Huh? Verse 18, we were there last week. Leviticus before Numbers. I don't want to open Isaiah. We close on this one. Leviticus 19, verse 18. It says, thou shalt not avenge unbelievers or avengers. Avatar. Word vendor. tooth bender. You know, we know iron bender. Eh? So you are, you know iron bender now. Iron sharpened iron. Have you seen this teaching before? Iron benders. What? Remember, tooth bender. Word bender. They are benders. They seek to revenge. Nothing in the word of God that makes you revenge. There's nothing. That emotion that just said, and I'll do my own. It's not from God. It's not from God. See, when you have feelings, put them in checks. It makes you wiser. Don't take actions until you ask questions. When you have a feeling about something, ask questions first. That's the first thing to do. Why? So what should I do now? Okay, what does the Bible ask me to do? The leading of God is as simple as His word. Do not seek revenge. Why are you bitter? Why is that thing still hurting you? I thought you said, I'm rooted and grounded in love. The love of God shall abide in my heart. Then why is that thing still hurting you? Why do you still feel enraged if the love of God is actually working in your life? Do not avenge yourself. And we saw that in Romans 12, right? Please just put one hand in Leviticus 19. We saw that in Romans 12 last week. That's 17. Recompense to no man. From the Bible's there. Romans 12:17. Ready? Recompense to no man what? Evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies within you. Live peaceably with what? Dear beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. How will he do it? Then he tells you, therefore, if your enemy, what's your own role? If your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. If he's holding you because of fire upon your head, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What is God's role in it? Proverbs 20. What's God's role? Says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. What will God do when your enemy hurts you? Proverbs 20. Learn something. Verse 22. Want to go? Do not say, I will recompense evil. But wait on the Lord. He shall what? He will save you. That's God's role. And it's actually very evident in Moses, which we'll look at much more when we have time. God saves you from the evil that is being done. But you know your own role? You do good to them that hurt you. That's not what Jesus said in Matthew 5:43, right? It has been said by the Pharisees. Love your neighbor. That is, love the person that loves you. I show mercy to the person that shows mercy to you. Then hate your enemy. Jesus said, no. Love your enemy as well. In fact, by being your enemy, you have been positioned as a neighbor. But the moment someone makes themselves your enemy, you go near. You go near and you show mercy. Does that make sense? Go back to Leviticus 19. So you don't repay evil with evil. You allow God to save you. Does that make sense? Learn something? In Leviticus 19:18, that's where we are. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So again, Moses is teaching us what it means to love your neighbor. He says, you not revenge, you not avenge, you not repay evil with evil. What you are going to do is what? Love your neighbor. And also in answer, you not bear grudges. What is grudge? Or what is a grudge? Or what means to bear a grudge? To bear a grudge means to maintain a feeling of anger and resentment, bitterness towards someone for what they did. To maintain or to have and maintain a feeling of anger, bitterness, resentment. No resentment. I don't want to see him. You don't want to see him. I don't want to have anything to do with him or her. To maintain a feeling of bitterness. Anytime you don't see the person, you're not happy. Moses is saying, you're not being a good neighbor. Neighbor starts with, it ends with showing mercy. But it also starts with not bearing grudge. You're not bearing a grudge. You are not maintaining anger towards anybody. Don't abhor bitterness. Let me say this. When you are bitter towards people, the devil will come for you. It has been proven over and over again. Beginning with Cain. Cain's issue started with bitterness. Not murder. He killed Abel. But that's not the beginning. He was first bitter. I mean,
It's you that God knows how to accept the sacrifice.
It could be.
We move.
He's bitter. He's not moving anywhere. And then it goes to anger. You are bitter. Everything the person is doing does not make sense. It makes you angry. What are you doing? Get out of this place.
Is what I have always been doing. Bitterness. Anger. Then, mother.
See how we graduated. But I with bitterness. There's no time you are bitter and you are walking in the spirit at the same time. You cannot be bitter and walking in the spirit at the same time. To bear a grudge means you are housing bitterness. So from Cain. Look at Absalom. The one who they slept with his sister, Tamar. Right? Remember the story? And then he sought a revenge. But what was happened was he was just bitter. He was bitter. And he took an oath that was going to kill Amnon. Starts with bitterness. Devil wants to get a man. He first makes him bitter. Just be uncomfortable. See, that thing that's always making you uncomfortable. Are you part of this world? Are you? The question you should ask yourself, who am I? Who are you? Who are you by the way and by the bush? You are not the most important person in the world. You know that. Because some people think the world rotates around them. You are bitter. So what? Who are you to be unforgiven? You are forgiven of your sins. Do you know how many people you have also offended? And as you have looked away? That should ring in your head. You know how many people you have done evil against? You don't have to go to the abalist to do evil against someone. Hope you know. You know how many people you have snitched on? You know how many people are not where they ought to be today because you probably did something careless. You wasted time, you did something. Yet, no one is holding you on account of your sin. Not even Christ. He has washed it away. He remembers it no more. Then, just to forgive someone, you are bitter. You are bitter. On something that will pass away. Because no matter what you are angry with right now, in eternal life, you won't have it. Oh, he took my boyfriend. She took my girlfriend. It's intentional, I just did now. You took my boyfriend, she took my sister. Everybody wants to be... So suddenly you're hungry. Vision, go. Say, welcome your neighbor. You're welcome. Ah! That one is not feast. That one is not corona again. That one is... You're welcome. Let God save you. The one I meant to marry that sister. And the one I meant to marry that brother. Who told you? Where is he written? Exodus? Abida Mola? Who told her? Who told him? What's that nonsense? And then you find, you know, most of the things that cause bitterness, especially in the church, we're talking about church now, they are very, very little flimsy nonsense things. Remember Acts 6 now? They are not having the widow's food. That's what they do now. I mean, 3,000 people were getting saved. 5,000 just got saved. And the only thing we could say is they're not serving us food. And people are taking it up. This church. Let me mention here. I know. Food. Wedding. You see what I'm doing my hands? Yesterday, gone tomorrow. Says nothing about a man's spiritual status. Nothing. As far as I'm concerned, says nothing about your intellect. Fools get married. I mean, idiots. People who cannot even think well. The ones who are beating their wives. I didn't know man. Says nothing about a man's intellect. Says nothing about a man's spiritual status. So why are you taking it important? Hallelujah. Let God walk in it. He says, you will love your neighbor. Leviticus 19:18. How will you do it? You will not avenge. You will not bear a grudge. Abominableness. Resentment. Whatever makes you not want to see another person is not from God. God wants to see you every time. Now in Genesis, he came in the cool of the evening to Adam. Every time he wants to have fellowship. So whatever makes you want to just stay away. And that's why I'm always again, you know, just stay around. Fellowship with people. Love people. Learn how to be around people. Let them offend you. Walk in love. What do you hear there? Don't be a grudge. Don't be a grudge. Bitterness. Always deal with it immediately. Soon. Immediately, as you are noticing it, say, what's this nonsense? What's this nonsense? Away from my heart. Now,
in the name of Jesus. Call the person. Ask you now. Let's hang out. And the devil is put to shame. Okay? Practical ways of working. What are you doing on Saturday? What are you, the outreach? Morning. Prayer group. Yeah. 12. By 12. What are you doing? 12 to 1. Ask just. Can you just spare 12 to 1 for me? Not because naturally you want to go out. Right? But your brother, you can't be bitter against the brother. A dead dog is an abomination. Abraham said, let there not be strife among us. We are brethren. Lot. Abraham would have said, who, come here, who brought you here? You started having servants. Yeah, call your servant, let me come here. Where did you come from? Yeah, sir, I'm from your tribe of, Lot, when, who even gave you this servant? Because when Abraham was leaving, he took Lot. Lot had nothing. God said, I called Abraham. When I called Abraham, I called him alone. Lot is a baggage. Is a luggage. Sorry. Extra luggage. When I called Abraham, I called him alone. So, Lot started having servants. Then the servants that were fighting with Abraham's servant. Then Lot got vexed. Not Abraham. Not a friend of God. Who has seen an example in Christ. He talked to God. He said, he could have been bitter. I said, what's all this nonsense? Who born you? Oh, my father's brother, sorry. He said, no. Lot was way younger. He says, that's nothing to do with age. By age, by status, by everything, Abraham was the prophet. Abraham had the authority over Lot. You could even say, oh yeah, Lot, I command from this day, you have no castle. All of us, oh yeah, everybody stays under my own. He said, look around. Take anything you want. Take everywhere you want. I will take the remaining. What's an example? I will take what's left. Why? There's nothing in this world that is worth fighting. That is worth walking in the flesh for. Nothing. 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 What Lot took that day? Is he not gone today? Huh? Huh? Is he not gone? In fact, to be more precise, for Sodom. That was when he journeyed towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He took the coast of Sodom. Why? He was flourishing. Why you not go flourish? That's where vodka is. That's where they are smoking. That's where they are partying. The Lord looked towards the place. He said, but yes, sir. Oh, yeah. It's okay. Abraham did not walk in the flesh. We have an example. Hallelujah. In the resurrection of Christ. Don't bear grudges. There's nothing Christianly about it. Some people even pride in the fact that, I can keep someone in my heart. Have you seen a Christian say it before? As I'm looking at you like this. You even know. You even know. And then ladies, I'm saying this again, ladies, women, sisters. Because guys don't have an issue. Sincerely. I've seen it over and over again, boys sister. Do that deal like this in the morning. In the afternoon, they're just watching Arsenal match together. Oh, yeah! That's it. Guy, what do you do for money? No fresh. Yeah, forget. See, for the telly now. That's it. But ladies, see, from Morati. She doesn't know me. When ladies are doing like, devil has stepped in. Because you don't speak like, in tongues. Yeah. But when you're having eyes, the posture of darkness. You know what? In this church. In this church, so we know me. We already know. We already see you. You can't believe that. You want to say that. Is that what we do now? I don't know. Five to our side. You are walking a path that is not good. So ladies, please, take note. And doesn't know me. I'll greet you like this and I'm not greeting you. So what joy do you have in that one now? What you just said now? Who did you glorify? God's spirit or the devil? You know the answer. So I will greet you and I'm not greeting you. There's nothing you can do. See, it's me and you. In this spirit, in this church. What's that? Don't let bitterness stay in your heart. Bitterness. And oftentimes bitterness, what we are bitter about is what we also do to others. I got one brother like that. He said, he was sick and they didn't call him. I said, how many sick people have you called in this church? He kept quiet. So who are you expecting to call you? The people you have never called. You see the irony? So I said, what are you bitter about exactly? So you get what I just said now?
Who put it called? How many people have you ever called? That was the question. Could you answer? But what? The people that have been sick, or you are the only one that used to be sick. The people that have been sick are forgiving you that you not call. Forgive. And let's move on. Are you still sick? No. So how would you know, how would you want them to even know that you are sick? By word of knowledge. Did you tell anybody that you are sick? No. They just supernaturally know. We must learn to tolerate one another. Loving your neighbor as self. So you treat others the way you should be treated. I'll close. I've said I'll close many times now. With Colossians 3. You hear something? Pray for me as I close, please. Colossians 3. Can we verse, we are going to read from verse 11 to 14. Colossians 3. Are you there now? Want to go, everybody? Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor circumcision, barbarian, Scythian, born nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, that forbearing and above all this, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Hallelujah. Put on bowels of mercy. In the humbleness of your mind. Put on bowels of mercy. As Christ has forgiven you, forgive others. When you remember, you just say, it's not that big. Don't make a big deal of what's nothing. Is that clear? Don't make a big deal of what's nothing. Don't make a big deal of it. I told you that people will always offend you. Believer, see, Jesus offended some people. It is normal for man. People will offend you. Because you expect something from them. You get, you have set a boundary, you have set an estimation. For example, there is something you expect your brother to do for you. Like, you are my brother now, you should have offended me now. And then, that one said, me, I don't like fights now. I said, oh, it's fights now, my case. You cannot defend me. Because you expect it as your brother. He's your brother. You should have, but he didn't do it. So you become offended. Stop her. But he didn't want wahala. He didn't want problem. I've told you that people always step on your toes. You wear a big shoe. Is that clear? Wear cover shoe. Because you can't stop it. People will offend you. Your father has offended you before. Your mother would have offended you before. Your siblings would have offended you. Your pastor would have offended you before. Your cellular would have offended you before. If I'm close to you, if you are that close, there's no way you will relate with another man. That something will not happen. The best of friends will fight. The best of friends. You and your spouse will fight. Say, pastor, it can't happen. No? I swear, pastor, I swear. I know that he was not swear, but I swear. Ah, pastor, he's such a nice, he's such a gentleman. But have you seen prophet before? And the prophet is more gentle. About your CV now. He's more gentle. Say, ah, pastor, if you pour water in his mouth, and you go out, when you come back, see me the water there. That pastor, he's so nice. Everything written about him is great. Wait till you marry. You will offend one another. It's not negotiable. It's not for knowledge. It's knowledge. It's going to happen. It's not word of knowledge or word of wisdom. It's word from knowledge. Or what is knowledge? It's going to happen. Why? You are dealing with a fellow man. Are you listening to me? Are you dealing with a fellow man? He will offend you. But you know what you do? As Christ has forgiven you, you forgive others. He said, forbear. That's the word. Rather than bear a grudge, you forbear one another. Forbearing means you are going to just tolerate it. Tolerance is of the Spirit of God. You must know how to live with people. You know, must not have to accommodate people. You know, people that are living with you sometimes do not fit in, they will not tickle your boxes. You took someone into your apartment. Sometimes it might not stick on your boxes. Oh, I need someone who is neat. Might not be. You must tolerate one another and then make yourself understandable. Okay, fine. You put your shoes here, me put it here. You understand? Don't, you are not saying it as the Lord of the house. You are not saying it as it's my house. You are saying that, why not put it here? It's better when we have things like this. You get what I'm saying? You must tolerate. Don't say you're cycling yourself either. See, Baba, no, you can't tell me that. I can tell you that. I can tell you that the Bible says you should forbear one another. Forbear. Tolerate people. Little do you know that you are also being tolerated. It's what we have seen in Christ. Love your neighbor as yourself. Would you have loved to be tolerated? Would you have loved to be understood? Then that's what you should do to others. When you are in need, would you have loved gifts to you? To give to you? To give something to you? Eh? When you are in need. And that's what you should do to others. When you are not feeling too well, would you have lost someone to call you? That's what you should do to others. When you make a mistake, would you have lost someone to forgive you? That's what you should do to others. When you are in danger, would you have lost someone to pray for you? Then you should pray with others. Love your neighbor as yourself. Can we just pray for ourselves this morning? The love of God in my heart abounds more and more. I know how to forbear. I know how to endure. I don't bear any grudge. If there are people in your heart that you have not forgiven, you do that now. Let go. Let God save you. If in your heart is the Spirit of the Lord, why is that thing still unto you? Pray for yourself. Jesus, you have my heart. For yourself this morning. God is talking to you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Every man deserves compassion. Every man deserves forgiveness. Every man deserves love. Jesus asked me to be more and more like you. To love like you do. To heal like you do. To let go easy. To walk in the Spirit more effectively. My heart belongs to you, Jesus. Walk in me your perfect will. Walk in me your perfect will. I'll be more tolerant. I'll be more tolerant with people. I'll be more understanding. There are no grudges. There's nothing to revenge. There's every man's love. There's every man's love. Nothing to revenge. Jesus, help me to walk in your words the more, to walk in the Spirit effectively. Jesus, my heart belongs to you, my life belongs to you. I am more effective in my work. I know how to tolerate others. Right now, to give, forgive. There's no bitterness in my heart. I uproot every root of bitterness. Every stop of resentment, every stop of anger, every stop of anger.
yóò bá wọn àlejò. Wọ́n á fi bẹ̀rẹ̀ gbogbo ìsọ́nà àwọn ọmọ Jesus. Every stranger, every bitterness, every root of bitterness, every root of strife, every root of strife, put it on my prayer. You have no place here. This God, this act is a spirit of God. This act is a spirit of God. The Lord, like Jesus, will do. To believe that he has done. Resurrection is an example. Resurrection is an example. Ourselves that let's go to Philippians. Is the Paul I put it? Verse 8. For God is my record, how I greatly long after you in all boldness of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound more. That we are about yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with all the fruit of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus to the glory of God. So the prayer is that your love will abound more and more, and that you will be sincere and without offense. Hallelujah. So I'm praying for someone beside you, that you be sincere without offense. Your love will abound more and more and more, and you'll be able to approve it. I pray for the person.